So, hey, David, this is Kim Landers. I work with the Sugar Hill Historical Society, and we are going to do an audio interview today for historical purposes for the Sugar Hill Historical Society. Are you okay with me recording this?
Sure, I'd love to. I'm honored to be a part of the history of Sugar Hill. My family goes back there a long way.
Okay. All right, so I saw your post with the picture of the Sugar Hill Drive-In, which is very funny because I found this picture years back just Googling on the internet, and it's one of my screensavers. But I never knew who the picture belonged to, so we'll go ahead and start with, I know you posted this on the Facebook, but go ahead and tell me about this picture.
Well, it's like I had just bought that 1959 Ford, and it's like I bought a 59 Ford because my grandma Gaston had a 59 Ford retractable, and I was going back to visit my dad because we were going to rebuild the motor, and it's like because I bought it, it's all original shape, and it's like I said, I got to go by the Sugar Hill Drive-In and get a picture of it, of the 59 in front of it, because it's like that was the first real painting job I ever had, and it's like, and it's a funny story about how I got my job at Sugar Hill Drive-In. My first business that I operated was a hot dog stand on Appling Road. Well, I'd won a prize at the county fair for making a hot dog maker. It's like I could cook six hot dogs at one time. I had like a positive wire running in one end and a negative wire on the other end. I could plug it in, turn it in, and cook the hot dogs from the inside out. Well, I didn't have a lot of customers stopping at my hot dog stand there on Appling Road, so I'm like, maybe if I go to the garage and I go to the cabinet shop, I can get orders, and I can go back and make them and bring them back. Well, my dad was a silent partner in my first business venture because I had my charge account at Passing Puckett's. And it was like, I was doing pretty good with my business till that Friday when my dad was like, what's all this with the hot dog buns and the hot dogs? He didn't realize he was a silent partner. He didn't like it too much.
Uh-oh.
but it's funny. He says, I'll tell you what, son. He says, the Sugar Hill Drive-In needs a curb boy. He said, go out there tomorrow morning. He said, put on your best shirt. Slick your hair back. He said, go in there and talk to Harold Cade. Stick your hand out and introduce yourself. Tell him that you're David Appling, you're Jerry Appling's boy, and that you're here for the job. And Harold Cave, he thought that was so funny. He used to always laugh at me. He said, when you came in, he said, you didn't apply for the job. You just said you was here for the job. And I really loved it because it's like my best friends when I was a kid was the older folks that I met at the Sugar Hill Drive-In. And of course, you know, Passing Puckett's at the Sugar Hill Drive-In, that was Sugar Hill.
Right.
And knowing like all the regulars like Junior Streetman, and it's like Elvis Stouffer, and George Haggard. It's like I get all these stories from these guys, and it's like it was great growing up in Sugar Hill. It's like I tell people, we always knew when it was spring in Sugar Hill, that's when Franklin Pass put his boots on. When it took his boots off when it was wintertime when he put his boots on.
That's right. So what year was it that you started working at the Sugar Hill Drive-In?
I'm thinking it was 74, 75, and 76. I worked there 3 years, and it's like and I did pretty good there. I got to tell you another funny story. It's like I would always put plenty of napkins and ketchup, salt, and pepper in the bags when I took the order out of the cars. And Catherine got on to me. She said, that costs money. I'm like, well, if I have to come back in and bring them some more napkins and ketchup, it's cutting into my time. So I started buying all the condiments out of the money I was making because I was making it as a curb boy. Sometimes I was making $75 to $80. And sometimes $100 a week, that was a lot of money for an 11, 12-year-old kid.
That's right.
And the reason I got a picture of my 59 in front of Sugar Hill Drive-In, I used the money I made as a curb boy at Sugar Hill Drive-In to buy my first car, which was a 1966 Mustang GT Fastback with a 289, 271 horsepower, four on the floor, which helped me get my first ticket before I even got my learner's license.
Oh, okay. Okay. So you were 11 when you started working at the diner then?
Yes.
Okay. All right. And that was 74, 75, and 76. What was the owner's name?
It was Harold Cave. That's when Harold Cave ran it with his wife, Catherine Cave. Their son, Michael Cave, worked there. And Dennis also worked there. And we had Mutt Brogdon, who was the mayor of Sugar Hill at the time. He would come in and run the cash register for free. And I think it was about 1976. It's like they were running for mayor, and it's like I was running for mayor too. So I'd tell everybody it came in. It's like I was gonna put two chickens in every pot and three cars in every two car garage. And when the results came out for the mayor's race that year, it's like I got two votes. I even made the paper.
Do you still have your little hot dog thing you made?
No, I don't. But it's like it wouldn't be that hard to make one. Mm-hmm. It's like all I did was like I split like the plug in that you plug into the wall. I split the wires and I put them on each side of the box I made, and then I have wires that I wrap the positive around. And it's like the positive and negative would meet in the hot dog and cook it. I won a prize at the science fair for that.
Mm-hmm. That's cool. And that was through Gwinnett County?
Yes.
Okay. So what else pertaining to the diner is most memorable for you? I know I saw on some of your posts you talking about remembering the screen door, the way it shut, and the gravel parking lot, and y'all did curbside service, so people just pulled up and you came out and brought it to them, correct?
Oh, yes, it's like, and I got to where I would know my customers, I would even know where they parked at, and it's like, and when I saw the car coming from the left or the right, it's like I would already be standing at the spot that they parked at. And it's like, and I would be on Dennis at the grill. It's like as soon as that order came off the grill, it's like I was running back out there, and it's just getting to know everybody there. It's like, and I had this a really wonderful childhood in Sugar Hill. It's like, and there at Coburn Sugar Hill Drive-In, it's like this is a funny story. Everybody at the Sugar Hill Drive-In had a gun. That's like Mutt Brogdon. He would come in at lunch, and he had his little 25 automatic in his pocket. Harold had his 38. It's like on the top of the cooler behind the counter. Mike had his, and Dennis had his. And I used to ask him. I said, "Has the Sugar Hill Drive-In ever been robbed?" And they're like, "No." But it's like I've got to get together with my dad, and it's like, because it's like a lot of the stories that I heard out there, like by Junior Streetman, and he would I can see him right now pulling on his nose, and it's like, so somebody would talk about how good a gas mileage your car got, Junior, that car I got, it gets such gas mileage, I have to stop every 10 miles and let gas out.
So tell me about growing up in Sugar Hill. Where did you live at?
I lived on the Appling Road. It's like I was surrounded by Applings. It's like I was the first house on the left. It's like right across the street from me was my great uncle H.R. Appling. We used to ask him what the H.R. stood for, and he'd say Hard Rock. So we never really knew if he had a name, but it's like back then a lot of times they just gave people initials like Johnny Cash's real name is J.R. Cash. The Air Force gave him the name of John. But then next door to him was my great uncle Lewis, and next to that was my cousin Aaron's garage. Bottom of the hill was my great uncle Lonnie, and then Aaron's at the end. So it's like I live surrounded by people that all have permission to give me a whooping.
All right. Well, they named a road after y'all. There was so many of you.
I got to play in the same woods that my dad did when he was a kid, and it's like down at the waterfalls. We built a log cabin. We carried bags of cement. We were kids, so we carried bags of cement down there. We put in a fireplace. We had a wood stove. We dug out the creek where we had like a swimming hole. And later, as I grew up, it's like I went down there to visit it. And what we thought was big back in the day, because we built a pretty big log cabin, but where the door was at came to like the top of my shoulder. But this is a funny story. My dad used to always tell us, he says, "Boys, if y'all come up on the moonshine still, y'all out there playing in the woods," he said, "just make a lot of noise and say that you're Jerry Applin's boys." So one day we was down below the waterfall, and we was the farthest we'd ever been away from the house. And we'd take our shoes off. We just walked through the creek. We came around this bend and this cane break, and there was a full-blown operation going on, about 11 people working there. So we start splashing in the water, saying, "We're Jerry Applin's boys, we're Jerry Applin's boys." They all started laughing, saying, "We don't shoot Applins around here." I found out later that they may have been working for kinfolk.
Oh, really? Oh, okay. You mentioned the cabin. That cabin wouldn't happen to still be standing, would it?
No, it's like it was at the end of Applin Road, and I think they've got a subdivision or something down there now. It's been years since I went down there. I'll have to get up with Joe and just find out if the waterfalls are still there.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about the waterfalls, too, if they were still there.
They were nice. It's like we built a log cabin, and the property was on the pass's property, but my dad and, well, everybody knew everybody, and it's like they knew we built that cabin down there, and it wasn't no big deal. But we built it at the top of the one waterfall that went straight down, then went down to like a shoals for another probably 20 yards, and we had a huge sycamore tree that we tied a rope swing in. It was just like a Huckleberry Finn and Tom Sawyer out in the woods.
Right. And you mentioned that, I saw on the Facebook post that you mentioned that you carved in some of the same trees that your dad carved in.
I sure did. It's like my dad told me, it's like when they were kids, the head go down that same creek to bring the water back to the house. That's how rural it was back then.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And those trees are in that area where the cabin and the waterfall was that y'all carved in?
Yes.
Okay. All right. And you don't happen to remember what your address was when you lived in Sugar Hill, do you?
I still remember it was 1226 Applin Road. I still remember a phone number. It was 945-4595.
And that was no 770 or 404. It was 945-4595.
I remember when we first got the phone, it was 5, and then it was 4595. Then it added the 45, and then it added the 9.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah, that goes way back. But yeah, definitely.
And what's so funny is one of my best friends, we would get phone calls before I ever even met him, because they lived on Plunkett Road. Their phone number was 945-4495, and it's like we used to tell people, say, yeah, it's like our phone number was one number digit. It's like we both lived on the road surrounded by family. I bet not many people can say that.
That's right. That's exactly right. What are your earliest memories of Sugar Hill as a child that comes to mind?
Oh, it's like when we first moved to Applin Road, it's like we lived on Olivet Road right behind it, and we moved up from Atlanta. It's like when I was 2 years old, Because I was an escape artist as a kid. It's like my mom said, I would push the screen out on the second story where we lived at, reach over to the gutter, and walk my way down. It's like I would go to the store and try to swap the fruits and candies that the next door neighbor would give me. I'd go to that store and try to swap them for candy. But the first memory I have of Sugar Hill was playing in the storm drains down Olivet Drive, because one of the games I had when we lived in Atlanta, one of the reasons we moved back to Sugar Hill was they used to have a harness on me when I was a kid. I still like gravel, but I would get down to the storm drains down in Atlanta, and my car would go by wave, and then the fire department would come out, and just, I thought that was the biggest game. They would come out with all these lights on, and then I would just go up under the storm drain, the other side of the road. So when we moved to Sugar Hill, I was looking for a place I could do that at, and I found a storm drain. And it's like my mama thought I was trapped down there. It's like, and I was waiting for the fire truck to show up.
Aw, okay. So how many years did you live in Sugar Hill?
I lived in Sugar Hill all the way till it's like I left Appin Road when I enlisted in the Army when I was 17. But I was in the Sugar Hill and Buford area all the way up till like about 95, and it was funny enough, I was living on Plunkett Road, and it's like, and then I wound up getting a job with a Turner Broadcasting, where I just had to catch a plane like every Sunday, so I moved on up here to the mountains.
Okay, all right. You said you were in the military. Tell me a little bit about that.
I was a 64 Charlie. A motor vehicle operator, and when I went in, I was one of those people that it's like when I was 17, I looked like I was about 14. Sergeant used to get on me like, "Have you shaved the day after?" And I'm like, I don't need to. I don't have nothing to shave. I grew 2 inches while I was in the Army. It's like by the time I got out, I grew 2 more inches.
Aww.
But I went in, it's like, because I wanted to, wanted to serve my country to start off with. It's like, cause all my heroes when I was a kid was the Patriots we had during the Revolutionary War. It's like my first heroes was Thomas Jefferson, Thomas Paine, Patrick Henry, George Washington, and all the men and women that fought for our freedom. But one of the things I found out, I'm too social person to be a truck driver.
Oh, okay. How long were you in the service?
I was in for 3 years active and then like 3 years inactive. So it's 6 years in all, but only 3 active.
Okay. All right. And what was the community like growing up in Sugar Hill?
Oh, it's like it was great. It's like even if you weren't best friends with people, it's like just you knew where everybody was, and it's like, well, I was like in the Boy Scouts. I was able to ride my bicycle from Appling Road all the way to downtown Buford, and that's like one of my merit badges for civics. I worked at the Buford Library because I like reading books. And it's like I learned the Dewey Decimal System, and it's like I could ride my bicycle all the way to a Buford, and nobody would thought nothing about it.
Mm-hmm. So, what special memories do you have about the community back then? Does there anything come to mind that sticks out specific to down Sugar Hill area?
It's like I really loved it's like the passing Puckett's and Sugar Hill driving, because you know that was like the hub of all the information, the rumors and stories going on. And it's like just going out and going to the passing Puckett's and watching Franklin pass, break down tires barefooted, smash out a cigarette barefooted. And just all the different people that I knew back then. It's like I said, a lot of my friends were older, So I got a lot of stories all the way from like World War II stories to growing up, there's four of us brothers, and then we had my cousins Scott and Keith cross the road, and then my cousin Jeff. So it's like we had our own gang. It's like the bicycle racing all day long. It's like playing in the woods. It's like Daddy would always tell us, "You know, boys, it's like you better be able to get back home. When I yell three times, if not, you're gonna get a whooping." We were down at the creek, and we barely heard Daddy hollering, and we all running, and he hollered again, and we're like running. He hollered the third time, we're like, well, we might as well just run away.
Being
outside, being in the woods, and it's like and knowing everybody. Even if you weren't best friends, it's like you considered everybody and sure who your friend.
That's right. That's right. Tell me about your parents. What was your mother and father's name?
My dad's name was Jerry Apple, and my mom's name's Emily. And my dad, he's still with us. It's like he's 87. It's like still playing the guitar and singing. But it's like I grew up surrounded. It's like everybody in the family played music. And my dad was also a race car driver. So he built his own race cars. I remember one time he told me, he said, "Son, he said, don't never trust no race car drivers, no guitar players." I'm like, "Daddy," I said, "you play the guitar and you drive race cars." He said, "Yeah, I work 6 hours a week too." After he worked as a diesel mechanic, when he'd come home, he would build automatic transmissions on the side for money, and he always had two or three old cars for sale. And so that's where I got my love for old cars, was from my dad. It's like every time he would sell one of those cars, I would cry. I'm like, "Daddy, I want to keep that car." And he said, "Well, I can't keep them all." Mm-hmm. And it's like, one day, it's like I said, "Well, I got to help Daddy out." It's like he's working all day long. He builds his transmissions when he gets home. So I was going to take one of the transmissions apart for him. I found out he didn't need no help.
Now, how many siblings did you have?
I have there was four of us boys. It's like my older brother Michael, and then there was me, then there was Stevie, and my little brother Gary, and then my sister Deborah, which she has so many brothers she had to go down to Florida to find a husband.
Okay. And your parents, I know you said your dad is still living. Is your mother still living?
Yes, they live up here in Young Harris too. It's like my sister moved up here, so it's like my brother Michael still owns the our old home place on Applin Road, and I think my cousin Keith, he still owns some his family's property there on Applin Road, and I know my cousin Jeff does too. So although we don't have any Applins still living on Applin Road, we still have some of the property over there.
Okay. All right. And tell me about attending the schools. Did you attend? I'm assuming you attended Sugar Hill Elementary.
Oh, Sugar Hill. It's like I remember our bus driver was Barbara Pass. We actually got on Barbara Pass's bus because she was the fun bus. We were like the last people that got dropped off, but it's like we could have walked home quicker than the bus ride. But it's like just riding, and it's like the bus was the kids they were missing out on all the bus fun.
That's right. I actually rode on Barbara Pass's bus too. I live down Highway 20, but I was a few years younger than you, but I rode on her bus as well.
Oh, so we'd ride on my cousin Travis Sutter's bus. We go all the way down to Riverside, and we just all ride. It's like we know how close Sugar Hill Elementary is to Apple Road.
That's right.
It's like If I riding on the bus, it was part of the whole childhood experience back then.
That's right. That's right. What was the school like? What memories do you have of being in elementary school and the teachers? And did you have a favorite teacher?
Oh, it's like the first teacher that I was like a teacher's pet was Miss Whiting. It's like I started Sugar Hill in the third grade. I did the first and second grade in Buford. But when I first started at Sugar Hill, it's like they still had the old wood gym there. Well, we would rent roller skates. I think it was from Mr. Puckett. I had Mr. Harrison. It's like, God, it's been so long, but it's like, it was so funny. It's like a lot of those friends that I had back then, it's like we're still friends to this day. It's like there's nothing like somebody that grew up with you when you was a kid. You may know somebody 20 years when you're grown up, but somebody that knows you when you was a kid knows you better than anybody ever will.
That's right. That's right. Do you have any memories of that you'd like to share with me of middle school, which is now our high school, or of North Gwinnett High School?
Well, it's like I hadn't thought about the school years in a long time. We started, I think, Lanier Middle School. We were like when it first opened up, I think we were like the first, the sixth grade or the seventh grade. So I only did, I think, like 1 year at Lanier. And then we started North Gwinnett back then, I think, when we were like in the eighth or ninth grade. Of course, when you went to North Cliff, that's when you met everybody that was from Swanee and Harmony. It's like the Tri-City area. But my graduating class in 79, I think there was only like 70 people in our graduating class, so you knew everybody.
Right. And people today don't remember this, but North Gwinnett had a smoking section.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I remember my sister went there, so I remember that part, too. Go ahead.
We also had driver's ed there. We had Mr. Rourke that taught driver's ed, and we had the skid pad. Where they had the car that would do a blowout on both tires on one side, that way you could have what real experience handling the car with a blowout. I remember you could drive to school. That was a big deal, and it's like and cutting classes. But I remember it's like you had to get a smoking permit from your parents. I don't think they would let you do that anymore.
Right. Mm-hmm. When you cut school, where'd you go to?
Oh, so we would go down to one of the funny things we used to do. We would go down to the traffic jam in the morning time, and we would do it kind of like a Chinese fire drill. Except we would jump out and act like we was going to take people's hubcaps off, then jump back in the car, and then we would go over to like the dam. And it's like at the dam back then, you could go inside the dam. We had like a lounge seating area. I guess nobody knew about it back then, but we would go down there and just hang out. And it's like what brought me from skipping classes was one day we took the I was driving the van, and we didn't go to school that day. And my dad decided not to go to work that day either, and he followed us all day long. And it's like when he got home from work, he always asks everybody, "What y'all boys do today?" And we knew not to lie, because it was like there was a different whooping for lying, but we didn't want to reveal too much truth, because it's like when he said that, he was wondering just exactly what he knew. So "Did y'all go to school?" I'm like, "Oh no."
You mentioned the traffic jam. Where was the traffic jam at?
It was like on a 285, and it's like Doraville, and it's like we've done that like a couple of times. It's like but after my dad caught us skipping class, that kind of put an end to that.
Okay, that was a little a pretty good hop to go to Doraville back in the 70s.
We thought that was like I was going to another state.
That's right. Yeah. So what other fun things, whether it's preteen, as a younger child, what other fun things did you do as a kid, or what were your favorite childhood games or toys that you had?
I'll tell you this one. This ties in with Huckleberry Finn and Tom Sawyer. It's like my uncle and my cousin Aaron had the junkyard, and behind my Uncle Lonnie's house, there was a pond. So we would take gas tanks off the junk cars at my cousin Aaron's junkyard. We'd use the fuel line to tie them all together, and we would make rafts and put them on the pond, and we would use the dipsticks out of the cars as our swords, and we'd have battles out on the pond. They think that kid floating on the pond, no life jacket, some rascal made out of gas tanks. That's the kind of stuff we did. It's like every day was like an adventure. It's like going up next to the junkyard. It's like we'd pick out our own cars if they were like the roads, and we'd all be. The kids would be out racing the cars. We had a 53 Ford panel truck, and that was our tank.
All
and
right.
we were in the woods like all day long. It's like till Daddy called. It's like this is a funny story. It's like my buddy Stan Atkins. He's another redhead. Well, his whole family's redheads. And I was over at Stan's, and I was going to show him how to build a fire in the woods. And we built this little rock fireplace and everything, so we had the fire going that. His mom comes out in the woods and sees that fire. she's hollered out, "Excuse me to death." I ran all the way from what we call it Duncantown back in the day. I ran all the way back to the house, and I couldn't outrun that phone call.
You got caught, huh? Now, the junkyard that you're talking about, your cousin Aaron, was his last name Fleming? Or did
No. It was that one. Fleming's was right across from the Passing Puckett's. It's like it was Aaron Applin. That was my cousin Jeff's dad.
Okay. Where was that junkyard located at?
It was on Appling Road.
It was on Appling Road too. Okay. All right. Now there was also a place over there that was the city's original landfill, or was that off of Sycamore Road?
Yeah, it was at the end of Appling Road.
Uh-huh.
Where Appling went into a Sycamore Road.
Okay. All right.
And where the old landfill was at, back on the other side of it was where the I think it was Michelin Creek, but that's where the waterfall and stuff was at, and it's like where the I think where the city of Sugar Hill has all the maintenance stuff is at, is close to where the waterfall was at. So it's like have to ask my cousin Joe. So he may know if the waterfall is still there.
Okay, I think I do field inspections. I think I know where the shoals are that you're talking about. So I'll have to get back over there and take a look at that, or get with Joe and go with him, one or the other. So, were there any fads in your youth that you remember growing up in Sugar Hill that was a fad?
I remember getting my first bell-bottom pants.
Okay.
And it's like I remember clackers,
It's like I'm trying to, God, it's like it's been so long ago. But it's like and of course, me, it's like I was the second. I always got my brother's hand-me-downs, and I was always taller than he was. So it's like I'd always, everybody asked me if I was going through a flood.
I get that, yeah. What about any technologies that came along when you were growing up?
Oh, it's like I remember. It's like when cars came with can openers. It's like that was for pull tabs. It's like that's just one thing. It's like having the old rotary phone, and it's like I've got to talk to my dad. It's like it jarred my memory some.
Yeah. Let me see what else I have not asked you. You said your first job was the drive-in. What other jobs did you have?
I was also the drive-in. Then I went from that to just like I worked as a night. A houseman at the Stouffer's over on Lakeland. And then, I went into the Army when I was 17. It's like I was one of those people. It's like I went in the first grade when I was 5, and it's like I graduated. I wasn't 17. And it's like when I was out of the Army when I was 20. I tell people I was in the Army. They're like, when was you in the Army? I was in the Army when I was still a teenager.
Wow. So what was your time working like at Stouffer's that you remember?
I didn't work there long, but it's like I was like the night houseman.
Okay.
I always had a little bit of a twisted sense of humor, and it's like I found out that I could get the elevator. If you put your foot in the bottom of the door, and it's like when it closes, you just keep it kind of turned sideways, then it starts moving, you straighten it up, and it'll stop the elevator. It's like a safety device on the doors. And I used to late at night, I'd be in the elevator, and somebody would be going upstairs, and I'd push the buttons, and I wouldn't be able to see my foot. And when I would stop it, and they were like, I'm like, everybody's remain calm. I got this under control. And my boss was like, thanks for keeping everybody calm when the elevator messed up. They never noticed that the elevator only messed up when I was working.
You mentioned places to go when you skip school. About going to the Beaufort Dam and it having a lounge and a seating area. Tell me a little bit more about that.
Well, let's say when you went in the dam, they had like where you could see all the generators at, and then they had this one big room where the filter was at for the oil that lubricates the turbines, and it's like the same oil that it probably still is. Oil never was. It wears out that if you filtered it. So they had one room, it was just nothing but a filter. And I think it was on top of it. They had like the steps. It was like a glassed-in like lounge where you could see all the turbines running, and you could see all the workings inside the dam that had like a couple of couches. And it was like we used to do like tours of the dam. We'd go down there, and it's like the guys got to know us because we were there a lot. And it's like you can do the tour of the dam. It would go up the old bore holes to the rock, and it's like they did like the initial tunneling to build the tunnels for the water to come through that goes to the turbines. And that was always cool. It's like also on a hot day in Sugar Hill, you just go down below the dam, stick your feet in the water, and it's like that's what we call redneck air conditioning.
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly right. Yeah. So did you spend any time on the river or at Settles Bridge?
Oh, yeah, I love Settles Bridge. It's like we used to walk across the top of it, and it's like going up. There was also like an old mill It's like on the dirt road that went to Sutter's Bridge. It's like where the creek went under the road. You follow the creek down, there was still like an old dam down there, and it's like, and there was like the ruins of an old mill. And we were trying to get the old, one of the old wheels out of there that they used to pull the pulleys. But it's like, this was back when we was teenagers, and it's like the whole building was gone. But that wheel weighed so much, it's like, we'll never get this thing out of here. But the Sutler's Bridge, it's like the, it's like when we had our motorcycles, we would ride on the power lines, because we'd ride all the way to Swanee, and then we would ride all the way to MacEvers Bridge on the side of the road where we would get a ticket and go there and jump off the bridge. Those sort of stuff we did when we was kids.
Yeah. You have any memories of going to Lake Lanier?
Oh, we was Lake Lanier about every day, because it's like we could walk there. We would walk, because it's like it's hard to push the bicycle up some of them hills on Sycamore Road.
Oh, you would just walk down to the lake then?
Yeah.
Okay. And I'm going to ask you about some other sites and establishments that you might remember that you could tell me about. You remember the water towers that were by the Highway 20 bridge?
I sure do. It's like we used to the climb those, and it's like we were out one night. It's like all four of those, we were kids. It's like we were climbing it. That's when they first put the bridge over the railroad tracks, and we're like climbing up the water tower. A cop stops on the bridge, and he hits. It hits Michael with the spotlight, and he sees all of us, and Michael's out running. So we all slid down the ladder, and it's like that cop, he just sees God, he thinks we fell. And he's like, oh, kids. And it's like, and we took off, all four of us went different directions. But yes, I remember the water tower. I also remember the tower over at the waterworks in Buford. It's like they had that tower over there. It's like if you push the top out of it, you can climb out on the top of it.
Right. You talked about passing Puckett's. Were there any other grocery stores in the Sugar Hill area that come to mind that you can think of that you went to?
Well, so we had a, it's like right across the road from passing Puckett's was Bruce's, and then there was a Poon's store down close to where the old city hall was at. I think it's the last old store that's left in Sugar Hill.
Okay.
I think it's like a law office or something now or something.
Right.
But there's pools, and then we had it's like only the closest grocery store was in the Buford. I'm trying to remember what it was called, Burrell's or like, I can't remember.
Right. Do you remember the Chrysler dealership being in Sugar Hill?
Yeah, that was the I think the Robinsons owned that, right?
That is correct.
I remember that. Then we had Cannonballs that was on the railroad tracks right there.
Right.
Where the old crossing used to be at. And I think there used to be an old store right across the road from it that they turned into a house or something. Mm-hmm. But that's the way I used to ride to Buford. It's like I'd go across the railroad tracks right there to Robinson's Chrysler, and I'd take that road because it had less traffic on it. Plus, that's the road my dad told me to take.
Right. Do you remember the bowling alley or skating rink?
Well, I remember the bowling alley and the skating rink was right next to the Sugar Hill Drive-In, and it's like it was closed down when I was a kid. I remember the buildings that was there. I never saw them when they were open.
Okay.
It's like when the Sugar Hill gym burnt down. That was the last place I remember you skate in Sugar Hill.
Okay. All right. And I'm trying to think of anything else that you might remember from Sugar Hill. Do you remember Sugar Hill having a police department or a jail or at the old city hall or the fire department?
No, it's like I remember the old fire department, and it's like a, you call it, it's like, I got, we had like a Earth Day at Sugar Hill, and you'd get like a point for every piece of trash you picked up. I went down to over the City Hall, and it's like where they had the drink machine at. They had all the tops off the Cokes, and that's where I made my points at. I got all the bottle caps. But, yeah.
Well, that's smart.
I also remember when we had Barrington's, which was right there. It's like in what we call downtown Sugar Hill now. It's like it had all the that roof and had the windows in it.
Uh huh. Yes. Uh huh. And it was a shoe shop before that. Yeah.
And I remember, so we had Paulson Allen, the body shop. I remember stuff I hadn't thought about in a long time.
That's right. And J.W. Dodd had his battery shop.
Well, yeah, if I could still, it's like I'd always, when W.J. would come to the Sugar Hill Drive-In, I could still remember how he'd talk, say, howdy, friend.
Yeah.
And it's been a long time since I thought about that.
That's right. Do you have any memories of any of the gold mines in Sugar Hill?
Oh, it's like my cousin Keith, when he got his Volkswagen, there was like one of the shafts was down about 90 feet, and we would tie a rope in the back bumper of his Volkswagen, and we'd lower ourselves down into it. And then on one of the gold mines, it's like we would play down in it, and we even dug out a room in it that we had. It's like off one of the shafts, and we dug it out where we'd all have seats and stuff. Because you'd go down there on a hot day and cool off. I was spending the night with my buddy Kim McDaniel on Level Creek Road, and there was a gold mine right across from his house, and he never had been down in it because it's like the opening for it was like in a root ball, and I guess they closed it up, and it's like in that root ball, it kind of opened it up where you could barely crawl in there. So I was been down, I said, you've never been down there? And she says, no. I said, well, I'm going in. And I go in and it's like, and when I got back down at the bottom of the dirt where it caved in and then you can walk, I go like this, Kim! And he's like, that's safe. I'm like, I fell. I'm way down in there to take a boat. And it's like, we went into that one. I think it was just an air shaft because you could barely get down in it, and it's like you had to go in it feet first, and it's like but we never could get down to the bottom of it. It just got too tight, and we were kids. We used to play in the gold mines.
Okay, were both of them on Level Creek Road that you're talking about?
Yes, one of them was where they had that Robinson Park. There was one right there, and the other one was down further down Level Creek Road, almost to North Gwinnett. It was like it was right across from my buddy Kim McDaniel's, where they lived at in the woods.
Okay.
Now they got all those closed off now.
All right. You mentioned that your daddy would tell you to stay away from the moonshine, and that there might be a possibility that there were some family members involved with that. Is there anything else on the moonshining that you'd like to share with me?
Well, it's like my cousin Andy said, he's got his moonshine business up in Dillard now, so it's like the family's still in the moonshine business. We're just doing it legally now.
All right. And do you have any knowledge on Native Americans in Sugar Hill, that, you know, arrowheads, pottery?
Well, it's like my Native American, I got Native American heritage, just like my grandfather, Applin, his mother was full-blooded Cherokee, and she was part of Cherokees that never left Georgia when they had the Trail of Tears that they hid back. And it's like, also Applin's was one of the first white settlers to Georgia, too. It's like we know those towns in Georgia. It's called Applin, Georgia. It's close to Augusta. It has the oldest continuous operating courthouse in the United States. It's been operating as a courthouse since 1795. Okay. And then we have our cousin Daniel Applin. He was the most decorated soldier from the state of Georgia in the War of 1812. Actually won the battle, I think it was Brandywine Creek, that actually ended the war. It's like up on the Great Lakes. The British were bringing in steel and cable to build a fleet of ships where they could control the Great Lakes and the waterways. And my cousin attacked him. I think the British force was three times larger than his. He captured them, captured all the steel and cable. And that ended the War of 1812 before the Battle of New Orleans. That battle was fought after the war was declared over. And the state of Georgia, they named Applin County after my cousin, Daniel Applin. And also, they commissioned the sword for him, and he died before they presented it to him. And it hung over the governor's the desk in the Capitol all the way up to, I think it was like 1899, then it came up missing. And then I guess it's been about 10 years or so now, maybe a little bit longer. They finally found that sword because it has his name and everything in it in a store up in New England. They bought it, and it's back been displayed down at the Capitol.
Wow. But, okay. Now, did Daniel ever live in Sugar Hill, or he lived in Applin?
No, it's like he didn't live in Sugar Hill. And he didn't live in the county of Applin. The county of Applin was named after him after he passed.
Okay, all right.
But the Applins, it's like we have real, real deep roots in Georgia. And it's like a real deep roots in Sugar Hill.
Right, absolutely. You definitely do. What about any agriculture or farming that you remember in Sugar Hill?
I didn't remember much farming. It's like of course Sugar Hill Drive, and we had the garden behind it. It's like where we had the barbecue pit. That's where I learned to drive a tiller.
Okay.
But
how big was the garden behind the Sugar Hill Drive-In?
It probably was about maybe a quarter acre.
Okay.
It's like any restaurant. You got your morning when everything's busy, then lunchtime. After lunchtime, we work out in the garden, and it's like a. But I'm sure if I talk to my dad, I can remember some more stuff. But I've got some stuff I got to attend to here in just a little bit. But I sure have enjoyed talking with you, and I'll have to get over to Sugar Hill and check out the. So y'all got a new museum going there?
We should be opening it in the next few weeks, so it'll be open. I have a couple more questions before you go, if you don't mind. Do you have any memories of the churches or cemeteries in the area?
Yeah, I remember the churches. It's like and the cemeteries. The Sugar Hill Baptist. It's like me and my brothers. We used to go up there at night, and it's like we'd lay on the graves when cars come by. We would kind of sit up. It's like. It was like just a small town of fun.
Okay.
But
all right.
But yeah, it's like I'm stirring. It's like I was praying. It's like I wouldn't develop my stir while I was talking to you.
You're fine. You're perfectly fine. You're perfectly.
Okay.
Is there anything else that I may have forgotten to ask you pertaining to Sugar Hill that you might want to add?
I can't think of it right now. It's like after I got off the phone with you, I probably remember a bunch of different stuff.
Okay. If you do, jot it down and we'll have another conversation. Also, do you think your dad... might be interested in having a conversation with me?
Sure. It's like I'll talk to him this evening. It's like he's 87. How far back he goes back there. It's like my cousin Jeff. It's like realizing just how blessed and lucky I was to grow up, you know, surrounded by cousins and aunts and uncles. Everybody had finished giving me whooping. I definitely learned what was right and what was wrong.
That's right. Well, I tell you what, you also mentioned, I know you mentioned family, but you also said you had a lot of friends that were older than you. If there is anybody, we have the connection through Messenger on Facebook. If there's anybody that you think that would be worth our time for historical purposes in connecting with and talking with, if you think of that, just shoot it to me in Messenger, and if you have a contact phone number for them. And if your dad is interested, just send me a message through Messenger with his contact information, and I'll give him a call, and I'll basically do the same thing that I just did with you and just ask general questions. But I know you put the picture of the Sugar Hill Drive-In on the Facebook, and I can download that. Wow. You mentioned some articles about having some articles. Is there anything else? Newspaper articles, other photographs of the Sugar Hill area, the dam, other things that you might have that you could share with us that you think that might be valuable to us in the museum?
I'd love to help in any way I could.
Okay, awesome. Well, look, and you've got my connection through Messenger. Just let me know, and I'll check back with you. And we really appreciate your stories and your time, and look forward to talking to you again.
Okay, it was nice talking to you. It's my honor. I always tell everybody that I grew up in Sugar Hill. It's like I was over in Amsterdam, and I was playing the guitar on the sidewalk, and people, where are you from? I said, I'm from Sugar Hill, Georgia. Oh, you're a real hillbilly. I'm like, no, I ain't no hillbilly. I'm a sugar hillbilly. I said, they call me cake because I ain't sweet enough to be called pie.
Oh. Well, that's nice. Yeah. Well, again, it was my pleasure talking with you, and hopefully you may have some other information and some other contacts, so I'll look forward to hearing from you.
Okay. It was nice talking with you, Kim.
All right. You take care.
Okay.
Bye-bye.